Welcome to Shiloh Mission Baptist Temple. Let's all stand, and we'll start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I just pray to be each one of us here, and be the ones that are not, Lord. I just pray to look after them. Be this glorious morning that we might just honor and glorify you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all take your hymn. Let's turn to hymn number 240. Hymn number 240, the Belly of a Mountain. Happy anniversary.
A few things from the bulletin as we start. Today we have the Hardys with us. Introduce them in just a minute. Brown Bag is today, so we'll have a regular morning service. Take a break for lunch, then be back at 1:30, and there'll be no evening service. We have Men's Recharge. Guys, if you've not signed up, haven't paid, we need that taken care of today. Patch the Pirate is going to be starting on Wednesday. And on Friday, we're going to be having a youth rally here at the church. If you've volunteered to help in that, we sure appreciate it. And then Saturday, we have the Cross's 50th anniversary celebration. And so that'll be 2 to 4 here at the church. And if you have any questions about that, you can ask Miss Alice. We have a special guest with us on September the 15th, the Warren family out of Georgia. And they'll be singing on Wednesday night. We have a wedding shower then the following day for Alyssa Beavers. And Alyssa and Cole are registered at Target and Crate and Barrel. And then we have church work day on the 18th. And so kind of a busy time here. It's always amazing. September, October get pretty busy, a lot going on. And so we'd ask that you remember to pray for these things. You can be involved. It'd be a great help. Prayer needs, ask that you'd remember to pray for Miss B. She's at home recuperating from her surgery, and we praise God everything went well there. Miss Deanna's here today, praise the Lord, God protected her. during that event last Sunday, and she's able to be here. We sure praise God for that. Continue to pray for the Gilson family. Pray for Brother Cole. Pray for the Butlers. Visited with Mrs. Butler earlier this week, and it's like the whole family has COVID. And, of course, she's just coming off having a stroke, so she's trying to care for them. And it's just kind of a real hard thing. And so if you would pray for them, pray for healing. I asked her if there's anything we could do for her, and she said, you know, I get up, I warm up food, and no one eats it, and so there's no need to bring food, just prayers. And so we can do that. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Boy, I'd much rather be on the praying end than the receiving end when it comes to prayers. So let's remember to pray for them, lift them up before the Lord. I'm going to have Brother Charlie come back, lead us in another song, and then I'll introduce our speaker to us. And the Lord bless you for being here today. Brother Charlie?
Let's all take your hymn, most certain hymn on 131. 131, Christ is all I need.
Christ is all.
It's our honor to have the Hardys with us. Sure appreciate Brother Hardy and Miss Grace. Such a blessing. And he's kind of like an anchor, okay? Every September, Labor Day, he's supposed to be here. And I'm glad that he's willing to do that. And such a blessing. Brother Hardy, if you'd come preach for us today, Lord bless you.
It's always good to be back to America's largest pulpit. Always have drainage in the mornings, whatever you want to call it. There's worse words for it, I guess, and have a hard time clearing my voice early. So I'd probably be better if I was just an evening speaker, you know, and we'll see how it's going. So I had a little peppermint a while ago, and I was hoping that, you know, you're trying to time that where it's just before it's time, but not too far into it. That reminded me of an old story years ago. Some of y'all probably heard it, or maybe someone said it last week, about a guy that used to have those, he used to make a little, what kind of a breath thing, sort of, about the size of a dime. It was real thin and kind of a grayish-brown color. And some, you got to, you just start shaking like this, you might be close to my age, so be careful. So this guy used to use those all the time, but they were also about the size of a button. So he knew when he put that in his mouth that when it was dissolved, it was time to quit preaching because it was real slow and it was real thin, so it fit there. But he put the button in there instead, and he really tore him up that day because the button never did get any smaller. Just stayed there. And glad my little woman can be with me. She is about 98% of the time. She's getting where she doesn't like to fly, and I never did really like to unless I was the one at the controls, and that didn't work too good either, I guess. So I did fly, but not for a living and everything. But it is really good to be with you. And one thing that kind of makes me a little anxious in churches I come to all the time, I try to keep good records on my sermons. So if you have been there several times, you're looking out and you're thinking, did I preach this here before? So Brother Sam helped me with that. I was talking about it one day, and he said, well, a number of years ago, Mother's Day was coming, and it's like the Lord wanted me to preach the same sermon I did the year before, but I'd already been working on one, and he said, I just told the Lord I will not. Did these people pay me? And they give me time, and I've got time to study, and I'm not going to shortchange them, and I'm just not going to preach that same one I preached last year. I said, how did that go? And he said, well, it went back and forth for quite a while, and I was still holding out. And finally the Lord said, Sam, they don't remember what you preached last week, much less what you preached last year. I said, what did you do? Well, he said, I just preached the same sermon all over again. And so there we go. But anyway, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. If I clear my voice some, I'm sorry. It's better than the alternative. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, with the idea of how to keep your heart and how to keep your mind. Probably if I were to ask how many people don't have all the original parts, there might be a fair number stand up. You don't really have any idea. But I don't have all of mine. You know, when I was a kid, when you were about 6 years old, somewhere in that category, your tonsils were coming out. Is it some more of you? I mean, period. There didn't have to be anything wrong, but they had us scared to death. If you didn't get your tonsils and your adenoids out, probably you weren't going to live long, and so you go in and get that taken care of. Now you never even hear about it anymore. So now we have finally figured out the doctors weren't making enough money back then, so they had to come up with something. So, and they have others that kind of come along every now and then, and everybody has to have that done. But I'm making it just fine without my tonsils and my adenoids. And then when I was about 13, I guess it was, I tried out for a man's job of digging ditches and all that. And the man said, son, this is either going to make a man out of you or it's going to kill you. Well, I had appendicitis. So it's gone too. And I'm functioning okay without that. So we're not going to go too far with all these parts that are missing, you know. It would be like living in a wrecking yard or something like that. But there's two things you're not going to make it without, and that's your heart and your mind. And that's what our text is about, how to keep your heart and your mind. So if you could stand in just for a moment for the honor of God's Word, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, and here it is, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be together. It's always wonderful to be together with God's people, and I just can't fathom what it's going to be like when all of us get together. Be a lot of good churches across the country and wonderful church members and pastors, and music directors and all kinds, missionaries around the world. What a great celebration time that will be. So we thank you for each local church, and that's a special family here on earth, your family on earth. I pray now that you would illumine our hearts and minds to understand Bible truth. As we understand it, we would act on it and enjoy the benefits that come from following your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in 1973, I had the privilege to become the pastor of Eastland Baptist Church. I didn't know anything about Eastland Baptist Church, and I'm a Texas boy, and I don't like Oklahoma. Now, I've been in Oklahoma 50 years, and I still don't like it. And so after I had finished doing an internship with Brother Raymond Tracy in Springfield, Missouri, and what a godly man, I loved working with Brother Tracy. I was trying to think about, you know, what I was going to do. I felt like the Lord wanted me to pastor, and while I was working for him, there were churches open everywhere. I was always people saying, Brother Dave, you ought to go and check on this, but I told Brother Tracy I'd worked for him 3 years, wanted to keep my word, and then when my 3 years were up, pastor, there wasn't a church open anywhere. And so I was kind of looking around. I didn't really want to start a church. And you say, why didn't you want to start a church? Well, the truth of the matter is, I think the biggest thing is, I didn't want to deal with the city. I didn't want to get land that would be okay and then have all the building codes and all of that. I didn't want to do that. So, Lord, I'd rather just take a small church if I could do that. I knew I didn't know enough to pastor for anything big. And so then the pastor that started Eastland Baptist Church, it was 3 years old and had about 50 folks, called BBC and said, I'd like to have a Sunday off. Do you know anybody come down just fill in for a Sunday? And so they called me, and I was free. And I thought, well, surely I could make it one Sunday in Oklahoma. And so my wife and I went down on a Saturday to speak. And my understanding was, and I don't know where the breakdown was, the pastor would be in town, just wanted a day off. So we were with the church, and the church was open, but nobody was there. And it's a small building, seat about 125, whatever like that. But we didn't have hardly any money, and it was getting close to dark. And so now we're tearing up the back seat in the car, you know, looking for those quarters and pennies and dimes and anything that fell out of your pocket. And we finally got enough together to stay in one of those motels nobody I'd know would want to stay in. And then we were hungry. And back then they had some places called Offer Treacher's Fish and Chips. And there was one in Tulsa, and we had enough money for one of those, but it had two pieces of fish. And so we ate our two pieces of fish and went to bed. And so the next morning got up, and as one of those didn't have a continental breakfast. And I'm a breakfast person. Anybody else? Yes, amen. If I only get one meal a day, it's breakfast, and it's going to be a big one if I'm only going to get one, too. So I went to the church hungry. And so we got there, and a few people standing right inside the door. And I've never met them. They hadn't met me. And I've never heard from that pastor yet. And I'm not being that the wrong way. Somebody's got a miscommunication on it. They looked at me, and I looked at them. Kind of a standoff. One of them said, "You a preacher?" I said, "I'm working on it." I still am. "You teach Sunday school?" I said, "Yep." He said, "We need one of those too. You lead singing 4-4, 3-4, 2-4. Don't come up with anything else, and don't change it between the regular part of the song and the chorus. Death will pursue if you do that, you know. But we need one of those too." And so that's how my time started. And so I did Sunday school and church, and then someone took us to lunch. It was exciting. Place called Casa Bonita there. A lot of people used to drive from Springfield down to Casa Bonita. It was a huge Mexican place, probably hold about 800,000 people. And you had a little flagpole on your table, and when you ate most everything, if you wanted some more, you just raise a flag, and here they came. And I wore that baby out that day. Had a lot of good stuff. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is that the men said, "Would you meet us at 4:30 this afternoon?" And it turned out to be five men because, like I said, we're having about 50 folks or so. And I think the pastor doing the best job he could. It's not easy to start a church, I'm sure. I haven't done it, but I've got common sense. I know it's got to be hard, and I think he'd done the best he could. 3 years, and I think he was pretty much worn out. But I didn't know anything about it. So I said, sure, because I'm not driving back to Springfield till after the evening service. And so I met with him in a little portable building out back. And they started talking about how much money the church had owed. They had three building funds or bond programs. That's the word I'm looking for. Churches don't use those anymore, but you sell bonds, like $100,000 worth of bonds to people, 7% interest, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. And when that time's up, they bring it in. You pay them their money plus their interest. They'd had three of those programs, and probably that building wasn't worth more than one of them. So I could see what they probably did with the first one and a little bit with the second one. I really didn't know. And again, it's hard to start a church. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. But the point is, all of them are coming due now. They'd all come full circle. And I think that pastor's about to have he'd done all he could. And he'd done the best he could. And I don't have any bad words for him whatsoever. And so they talked about all this gloom and doom, and I said, what are y'all going to do? Because I'm not seeing me in this picture at all. It's Oklahoma, remember? Where the wind never stops. Only time the wind doesn't blow in Oklahoma is when it's changing directions. You got about 5 minutes. No. I said, what are y'all going to do? And there was a man there named Don Leach. He was from Michigan. You know, down south, especially in Texas, they pretty much always called you preacher, whether you're a pastor or what, just called you preacher. It's just the word they used. Up north, they were more inclined to use the word pastor if you were a pastor. He had one of those faces where it's just like grace was dripping off of it. I couldn't make an expression like that if my life depended on it. He just was one of those people you look at and you like them. They're just pleasant people. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, we don't know what to do. And you could have shot an arrow right through my heart. And I thought, I'm coming to Oklahoma. You tricked me. You know, and it was him. Because if they said, you want to come down and candidate for a church? Well, I didn't know. I was just told a man was gone for one Sunday. Wanted a Sunday off and went out the car and told her. I was just sure as my name is Dave Hardy. We're going to wind. You know, I mean, they had said anything to me about you want to just do whatever candidate. But it didn't take long for that to come up. So I'm just, why are you saying all that? I'm saying it because that financial picture was even worse than I thought it was. And, but God, they did call us, and we felt like that's what God wanted us to do. And I mean, the best they could pay it all for 2 years was $70 a week. And sometimes, you know, it was hard for them to even come up with that. And worse than that is I found a stack of checks about this thick, already made out. And I said, what are these? And they said, well, when the bill comes in, we write a check for it, but it goes on the bottom because these are the oldest. And when enough money is in bank, we take the top one and mail it in. And every day, there were phone calls. What kind of testimony is this for a church? Well, I didn't make any of that debt. And again, I don't think he intended to. I think he did the best he could with what he had. Again, so, but I don't live like that. If Hardy's can't afford it, we don't get it. I'd rather live in a Ted Williams tent and have somebody call him. I'm dating myself again, didn't I? Sears and Roebuck. Not Sears, Sears and Roebuck. When it was Sears and Roebuck, they were doing good. It is now that they're just about gone, us. So I just don't want to live that way, and I hadn't lived that way, and so I'm just telling you, and I don't get headaches. You can talk to my wife. It bothers her because I feel good most all the time, and I don't get headaches, but I started getting some a little bit because of that. And I love Sunday because mail didn't come, so the bills didn't come in. I decided not to open the mail on Wednesday, Wednesday night, you know, and it's really beginning to bother me. A lot. And it's when these verses became special to me. Now, in the original language, the primary word in our Bibles for word is logos. But there's always so one that's kind of spelled like R-H-E-M-A-B, pronounced something like Rhema or whatever. There's actually a school down out of Tulsa way. It's called Rhema Bible Institute. It's kind of a charismatic type school, I think. But it means more of a special word. See, what would a special word be? Well, if I were to say, does anybody here have a life verse? Some of you would say, yes, I do. A particular verse. And you might have had more than one life verse simply because at one point in your life, something specific in that verse helped you. So I had about three of them because of that as a baby Christian. Then while I was in the Navy and then later. And so that life verse becomes maybe kind of a special word of God. And so that's kind of, I think, what this began began to be for me. So now you know why this came to be special. So I just want to give you a few thoughts on what maybe would be a help on how to keep your heart and your mind. Now, first of all, right here in our verse, emotional overload is forbidden. Now, look at verse 6. The first thing we read is be careful for nothing. Now, when I was a teenager and got my first car, 1952 Chevrolet two-door hardtop. That was a great car. And I wish I had another one just like it right now. And I love that verse. He said, why? Because every time I left home in my car, my mama would say, David, be careful. I said, no, Mama, the Bible says I don't got to. She said, that's horrible grammar. I know, but that's okay. He said, how did you get that? It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Is that what it says? That's what it says. And I know the reason you're looking like it. She said, I don't know if it really means that. It doesn't. But I didn't know, and my mama didn't know, so it worked pretty good. Be careful for nothing. You know, English is an Indo-European language, as is Greek, as is Latin, as is Spanish, and our word order isn't always the same. I have enough trouble just with English. I'm not trying to say that I know Spanish, but I'll tell you what a Greek or a Spanish person might say be similar. If we have a big red barn, that's what we'd say it in English. They wouldn't say it that way. They would say something to the effect, I have a barn, it's big, it's red. Now, really, that's more correct. The main thing is to have the barn, not the color, right? I mean, that's the most important thing. What color it is may be important to you. You say, what's the point? The word order. Be careful for nothing. No. Be full of cares for no reason is what's being said here. In other words, emotional overload is forbidden. You say, well, maybe I can't help it. God is not going to tell you to do something you cannot do. Now, He will tell you to do things you don't want to do. But God never, I love that old song, you know, that talks about God never bids us fly without giving us wings. Look at the old song that says, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But He doesn't ask us to fly without wings or walk without feet. And I can tell by looking at your faces like me, saying, are you really sure? I'm sure that He will not ask of me what I cannot do. Now, it may stretch me quite a bit, but it just flat says emotional overload is forbidden. Now, I know some people, and I hope I don't get on anybody's toes, they can't make it without an emergency. Anybody else? Nobody else knows anybody like that? If there isn't one, they'll create one. My mother, this literally happened to me. My mother used to talk to sometimes when people were just kind of too easily bothered that they cry over spilled milk. I don't know if you've ever heard that terminology. Some of y'all have heard that. So literally a guy moved from Springfield, Missouri down to, join Eastland Baptist Church after I'd been there a few years. Sharp family. He'd been a deacon in one of the good churches up there and so forth. And then I knew his wife was a little nervous or shaky a little bit. Sometimes the men are that way. Sometimes the ladies that way. But one Sunday came all by himself. I said, family okay? They sick? He said, no. I could tell he didn't want me to ask him anymore, so I asked him anyway. Oh, how come they're here? He said, one of the kids turned over a full quart of milk on the table, and it went on half of us. And that's why they're not at church. He said, yeah. I remember my mama's words. It doesn't do any good to cry over spilled milk. I've been to Cracker Barrel many times, and I have seen there a sign that says they sell everything, you know. I've set these 2 hours aside to worry, and nobody's going to interrupt me. Now, we laugh about it because there is some humor there, but there's too much truth there. And so we have to think about that just a little too. So be careful for nothing because there is an option here. Because we have the word, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let a request be made known unto God. So we have an option. We can worry, according to this text, or we can pray. Now, if we take a legal pad, put a line down the middle, and record all the, be honest about it, record all the time we spend, well, I'll use the word worrying, say, I don't like that word. Well, okay, put whatever word you want, but you know what I mean by that. It's profitless thinking and concern. And then how much time we spend praying, Which one of those is going to have the most time? Thinking. He said, I didn't say anything. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Pastors spend their whole life reading faces. And there's not anything we can do about that. You just do. But I appreciate your honesty. I would say probably all of us could be guilty at one time or the other. Some people more guilty than others. Well, why do we do that? Well, I tell you the reason why I think we do it. Praying's hard work. You don't think it is? I wonder about your prayer life then. If I were to suggest you just take 30 minutes to pray about a particular subject that's important to you, and if your mind drifts, reset the clock. That caught your attention too, didn't it? I just noticed. You'll find at the end of 30 minutes, it's not easy. Now, I want you to think about Jesus for a minute. For all the things He went through, all that He faced, only one thing did He kneel and sweat like drops of blood came from His face. When He was praying to the Father. If it's that hard for Him, you really going to look at me and say, real prayer is not that difficult? It is, because Satan hates it with all of his being. The devil laughs at our preaching and our singing and all kinds of stuff, but when we really get down to praying, it'll make him tremble. You know, being an ex-military person and being in the Navy, of course, I served on submarines, but I've had the chance to be on battleships, and of course, they don't use those anymore. Some of them were still active when I first went in. Can you imagine I'm going to use the word bullet, which is not correct for those, but could you imagine a bullet 16 inches wide? If it gets you, I don't think there's going to be much left, you know. So back in World War II, they would have what they call spotters. These are men that was, you know, infantry men. And, you know, they could spot a pillbox or something and get the longitude and the latitude, and they could be very accurate. That battleship is completely over the horizon. You can't even see it. Because these things had pinpoint accuracy for about 30 miles. And they would call that in. And when you heard that piece of lead coming over, it is too late. It's kind of like prayer. Prayer activates, could I say it this way? It activates the big guns. All you and I have compared to that is a BB gun. And sometimes we try to do it with that instead of getting the Lord involved in it. So be careful for nothing, full of cares for no reason, but in everything of our prayer, supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And then so it says in verse 7, so after you know that emotional overload is forbidden and prayer is giving as an alternative, it says, and the peace of God. Now, remember, there's peace with God, and there's the peace of God. You can have peace with God and not have the peace of God. So you say, explain the difference. I will. The Bible says until we get saved, we are at enmity with God. He's on one page, we're on the other. But when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, and then begin to serve Him, we got peace with God. I've had peace with God ever since I got saved when I was 14 years of age, but I have not always had the peace of God. In other words, we're on good terms as individuals between me and God, but my life and everything's not lining up like it should be, and I don't have the peace of God. In other words, I may be bothered when I don't need to be bothered. Things that are not that big maybe seem to be big to me. And so, though I have peace with Him. So, don't get them confused, because if you get them confused, the devil will make you doubt your salvation. He's tricky. Once you trust Christ for sure as your personal Savior, you're in. Isn't that great? Amen, brother. I mean, we've got a birth certificate recording in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are there. And that's always a good concrete foundation. It's better than concrete to keep in our minds. But then we could have that. But then things are not going right. We're bothered by it. And and we confuse that a little, and so I just wanted to kind of bring that out. But we can have both of those. Because, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I'm sure you've probably had that one time or the other. When do you need it the most? Well, you know, if you lost your mom, I think all the men would know this. No matter how old you are, when you lose your mama, you're just a little boy again. Just like that, all of a sudden. Because she's still mom. In some ways, you still need her as much as you always did. It's not easy to lose a dad either. Remember losing my dad? Kind of like I lost a little bit of security. In other words, I didn't feel insecure, but you can't help but think in life sometime, what if I lose all my health or this happens? Everything just goes wrong. I don't plan to do things wrong, but it just went wrong. I know my dad. I'd always had a house to come to with a clean bed and a meal. You know, of course, Mom would have been involved in that, and that was gone. So that's just kind of the way it is. But I remember my mother's funeral, and I remember my dad's. You say, didn't you weep? I did. The Bible tells us a good thing. But it tells us not to sorrow like people don't have hope. And emotionally speaking, it's good to weep. You know, I used to tell my folks two burials are going to have to take place for it to be right. One is a physical one, and the state's going to make sure you do that. But number two is emotional, and you need to take care of that as well. And then it's okay to have that sorrow, but not like people, they're lost. But this word here, keep, is the same word that's translated sentinel. Shall keep your heart and your mind. I think about a sentinel, I think about a big Marine, somebody like that. And I spent 9 weeks in Okinawa here a couple of years ago, my wife and I, pastoring a military church while the missionary came home. All those guys were giants. And never gave me the idea if one of them was standing guard someplace, I was going to tell him to get out of the way. Just sentinel. In other words, that prayer that passes all understanding, and the peace of God that comes, just kind of says to worry, not here. It's really not coming into here. And then I think you get down to verse 8, because I remember, and my wife probably will too, so many years ago, the first time I preached this sermon at Eastland Baptist Church, and the way I remember it, it was a Wednesday night. Our people always fail to respond to the altar, which is always good. You're never going to spend too much time on your knees. None of us are ever going to do that. But I remember, and we have a wide platform too, it's covered up. And I was thinking, this is a Wednesday night service, you know, more of a teaching thing. And I thought, wow, must have been a hot button. It's just the Word of God, and it did resonate. But you know, if you pastored the same church for a long time, I pastored Eastland 30 years. I got where I knew them pretty well. People are different. We had a great group of people, but there are people just like me and just like your pastor and everyone else. And it came down, and I thought, I wonder if they got all this taken care of. And I thought, I'm just going to watch for a while, see how this goes. So people come down to the altar and humble themselves and give that worry to God. And I thought, I wonder if they'll not come back. I kind of feel like that maybe the next week, real early in the morning, or maybe 2 weeks later when it's still dark outside, some of our people had keys to the building. They were Sunday school teachers and so forth. If maybe they didn't come back in the building while it was still dark and nobody was there, and they came back down to the altar and knelt again and found that burden, lifted it back up, and took it back out again. You know that old song, Leave It There? Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Don't violate that. That's a great Bible truth. But I think a lot of times all of us can, and some people maybe more than others. But now what's the first word in verse 8? Finally. Does that mean the end? It's a checklist. So the reason I mentioned the financial hardship at Eastland is it bothered me for a long time, Pastor. And the Lord nailed me with it. And He said, David, here's what we're going to do. During the day while you're going about your business, I'm going to be watching your thinking. And I'm going to take a snapshot for you, just like that, when you're thinking wrong. So we owed the money. So let me see if it's okay for me to think about money that's past due. So let's look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Yep, I can think about it, Lord. It's true. We owe it. So I'm going to fret about it. Whatsoever things are honest. Uh-oh, just got wiped out. If you're behind on your payments, you're wrong. Christians should always have a good testimony for the Lord. So it wasn't honest. So you see what I'm saying? The Lord is saying, you can't think about it if it's not honest. You say, well, why, you got to think about it. No, you don't. Does it put another dollar in your pocket? It's kind of the Lord could see me kind of being bothered by those things. And He was like saying, David, when you get on that pulpit, you better not look like you're piloting a ship that's going down, because nobody's going to join a ship like that. You better get your mind straight. So it's already disqualified. Whatsoever things are just. No, it's not just, because it's due on time and it wasn't there. Whatsoever things are pure, that wouldn't apply. Whatsoever things are lovely, it probably wouldn't apply, just not good. Whatsoever things of good report. Oh, man, does that wipe it out? No, being behind is a horrible report. In other words, the Bible says you can't think on that. You say, well, I can. Okay, but you'll be in violation. And guess what you just did? Forfeited the peace of God. You just chunked her out the window. Now, that's up to you. But your body will pay for that, because there's not one organ in your body that God designed for worry. Not one. Not a single one. This is the best book there is on medical things as far as living a good life right here. If there be any virtue, there be any praise, you know, think on those things. And the truth of the matter is, you can only think on one thing at a time. You say, oh, no, I can multitask. I've read enough information that says you can't. You can just swap quick. And we can. And you do some things out of habit. I don't have to be thinking about my electric razor. I can do that and think about something totally different. But I'm not multitasking in the sense of my thinking process. And so that can happen in our lives. I flew small planes for, you know, probably 35, 40 years, and I really enjoyed that. Our church had a plane, and I could go to the fellowship meeting and so forth. And I had a friend that, he was a preacher friend, he'd never been in a small plane. And so he said, hey, would you take me up for a ride in a small plane one day? And I said, I'll sure do it. So it was a good time of the year, and we set a date, and so he came out, and we went out to the airport, just right behind the church. You could almost throw a rock, kid. It's a real small little airport. So we got to where the airplane was, and I got out my checklist. And so I started going around that airplane. I'm checking the fuel in both tanks to see if there's any moisture at all. I'm checking the oil. I'm checking the ailerons and the tail and everything to see if that's all working. I'm checking the air and the tires. I'm checking everything on that list. I'm going down to each one. And then I opened the door, you know, to get in the cabin, you know, to get in the cockpit. And he said, I don't want to go. I said, you don't want to go? He said, no, I don't want to go. I said, I want you to want to go flying. He said, but I don't now. I said, why don't you want to go now? He said, if you don't know this airplane any better than this, I don't want to go. Now, I probably had the checklist memorized, but that's not the point. The checklist is important. Every single step. And I said, well, I told him about that. I said, let's get in it and let me go through the checklist on the inside of the cockpit and see what you think. And then he said, I understand. I feel better about that. And we did it, and we had a great flight that day. Now, I'm just telling you, here's your checklist. Now, don't just think about what part you want. Go down through these verses, point by point by point. And it'll be a blessing for the rest of your life as long as you do it. I think our time is up for Sunday school. God bless you.